Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Well, Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, the heir apparent to the Saudi throne, is meeting with President Trump at the White House today. It's the first stop in a 3-week U.S. visit, which also includes visits to New York, Boston, Los Angeles, and Silicon Valley. Joining us now is Ali Al-Ahmed, who is the director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
And what do you think Mohammed is looking for in this visit to the U.S.?
Most importantly, Mohammed bin Salman is trying to pave the way of the final phase of him becoming king. So he needs the support and approval even of the White House and other major political entities in the United States. And then using this opportunity as well to reward that support with the massive contracts in terms of arms and other deals, and also to give himself the title of a reformer. And that is something that the Saudi leaders have been doing since the 50s when they came to the United States. That's why you see a lot of money being spent in the United States now promoting Mohammed bin Salman as a reformer. And that has been done before.
Are there any U.S. businesses, though, that are wary about investing in Saudi Arabia right now?
I believe so. I think the retraction on the crackdown in the Ritz-Carlton really showed that he was told, Mohammed bin Salman was told, that no foreign person will come now because they do not trust they will be safe. And that has been the case, really, in most of the Gulf countries.
And by the way, you're talking about when Mohammed bin Salman rounded up many members of the royal family and basically jailed them in the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh.
Yes, not only members of the royal family, but a lot of businessmen as well, billionaires who, yes, they were corrupt, absolutely. Most of them were, at least. But the way this basically was done in a very, it was a shakedown, I think it scared off many, many international investors. The political system, which is in the hand of few, does not make it a very safe place for investment, especially when the king or the man in charge can change the laws and can tell the courts what to do. And this is, I think, the major problem for Saudi Arabia and its neighbors.
Do you think Mohammed views the Trump administration as a reliable friend to Saudi Arabia?
The Saudi monarchy has really seen every administration in a very opportune way, meaning that if they deliver what we want, we praise them no matter their domestic policy. And I think they see in a Trump a person who likes to make money. He has a big ego and they have figured him out. And I think that's why now Mohammed bin Salman's inviting Trump to Riyadh and that big or massive reception. And now Mohammed bin Salman is bringing an excess of 1,000 people to Washington. That's part of the charm to win the Trump support and his administration.
What about what's going on in Yemen? Saudi Arabia is waging a war against the Iran-backed Houthi rebels there. There's an effort in Congress to cut U.S. military support for the Saudi campaign in Yemen, which has already killed 10,000 civilians and wounded 40,000 since it began in 2015. Is it an important priority for Mohammed to convince the U.S. to keep supplying arms to the Saudis? And how do you think the U.S. will react?
The United States, I think, in the words of Secretary of Defense Mattis, will continue to support the Saudi war in Yemen. And the using of the Iranian excuse, I think it's overblown, because in Yemen, if you count the Iranian weapons versus the American and British weapons, they don't compare. I think that's much more of an excuse. Saudi Arabia has been involved in Yemen for more than three decades. It's the big brother in Yemen, basically. So I think he will continue to want to wage this war because it gives him stability at home. When there is war on the border and abroad, people inside tend to remain silent, and it really defers any calls for reforms, real reforms, and participation of the people in power in that country. I think that has been always the Saudi monarchy tactic, creating external crisis so they can have free hand domestically.
Does this visit by a Saudi crown prince feel different to you than previous ones?
Yes, I think this is for the history books. This is the largest foreign delegation that arrived to Washington or to the United States ever. So this is one. Secondly is you can see the consensus, especially from the Republican side and from those countries, their allies in Washington, be the UAE, Israel and others. I have not seen so much support for Mohammed bin Salman in Washington. And I think that's due because he is agreeing with them, especially in terms of the peace process in the Middle East, where there will be some kind of a deal where the Gulf countries will have an open relationship with Israel and will defer the resolution of the Palestinian issues until that's done. And I think that's very clear to me that there is a great support for him within the Washington cabal, if you want, if I may say.
That's Ali Al-Ahmed, who is the director of the Institute for Gulf Affairs. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.